Welcome to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church in Harvest, Alabama. We invite you into our sanctuary as we dive into God's Word with our pastor, Dr. Al Pieringer.
Well, good morning. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12, the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. I'll read verses 13 through 21 here in just a moment. I don't know if you're familiar with author Leo Tolstoy. Russian, who wrote many famous books, but he once wrote this story about a successful landowner. He wasn't satisfied, though, with his lot in life. He had success. I mean, he had a farm, but he wanted more. He wanted more of everything, and one day he received this very novel offer, if you will. This man came to him and said, you know what, for only 1,000 rubles, that this landowner could buy even more land. He could buy as much land that he could walk around in one day for only 1,000 rubles. The only catch was that he had to be back at his starting point by sundown. So he would start in the morning walking, and if he was able to make a complete circle, all of that land would be his. And so early the next morning, he started out walking at a very fast pace. By midday, he was very tired, but he kept going, covering more and more ground because he wanted more. Well, into the afternoon, he realized that his greed had taken him pretty far away from his starting point. And so he quickened his pace, and the sun began to sink low in the sky. And he began to run, knowing that, well, if he didn't get back to the starting point by sundown, this wonderful opportunity would be lost. And he wanted more. Well, as the sun began to sink below the horizon, he came within sight of the finish line. Gasping for breath, his heart pounding, he called on every little bit of strength left in his body. And he staggered across the line just before the sun disappeared. But he immediately collapsed. Blood was streaming from his nose and mouth, and eventually he died. And so his servants dug a grave. And he had a little piece of land about 3 feet wide, about 6 feet long, and about 6 feet deep. The title of Tolstoy's story was How Much Land Does a Man Need? But think about it. In the story, the man's greed for more ended in him having even less than he had before, and it cost him his life. Now, we all know, or we should all know, that greed is bad, and so I don't think anyone would admit that they are greedy. And yet in our search for the American dream and being caught up in American sensibilities, we are never satisfied with what we have. We always want more. I want more. But just as the man's greed in the story came at a great cost, so too our greed and our covetousness will come at a great cost to us as well, because it can cost us our very soul. If not for eternity, it will at least cost us our identity and our true calling. That which we pursue with all of our might is what we deem to be of ultimate value. And if we run after stuff, that means we think that stuff has ultimate value. And unfortunately, we Christians can get caught up in pursuit of the earthly and the worldly while we leave the heavenly and the spiritual on the back burner. In the passage in the parable that we're looking at today, Jesus warned against the spiritual dangers of greed and covetousness. What it teaches us is that having a great concern over material wealth, over earthly wealth, always wanting more, it will definitely adversely affect our spiritual lives. And so may the Holy Spirit reveal to us all of our true motives and attitudes toward material goods. And may the Holy Spirit lead us to instead invest into that which is of ultimate value. So why don't we stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy word as I read verses 13 through 21 of Luke chapter 12. Jesus had been teaching, and someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he, Jesus, said to this man, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'Well, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Let's pray. Our God in heaven, get through our Americanness, the desire for always wanting more in the world. Show us that which is of true value. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So today I want to quickly consider the passage itself, and then we're going to draw some conclusions for our own lives. So first today, let's talk about that the principle Jesus explains. The principle that Jesus explains. Now let me give you a little bit of context to what's going on here. So Jesus has been teaching to a group. He's been teaching to a crowd, not only of his disciples, but just a crowd in general. He was teaching about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, the need to fear God, the value of our lives in the eyes of God, and he spoke about the importance to believe in him, for faith in him, in Christ. And so Jesus was teaching some deep spiritual truths. It was a spiritual time of learning. And in the midst of all this important truths that Jesus has been talking about, all of a sudden this guy just kind of interrupts and demands that Jesus help him in a dispute that he had with his brother over the inheritance. I mean, I don't know, maybe he thought he didn't get his fair share of his dad's inheritance or something. But considering what Jesus had been teaching, this question was very highly inappropriate. That was not the time to ask that question. Have you ever had a friend who just would ask a completely inappropriate question or give an inappropriate statement at the exact wrong time? I mean, considering the context of what's going on, I mean, you know, you're like at a funeral and your friend says, "Hey, what are we doing for lunch?" "Dude, we're at a funeral." "That's inappropriate. Stop that." Well, this was inappropriate. Here, Jesus is giving all these eternal truths, spiritual words of life. And all this man cares about is money. "I want my money." And that shows exactly where his heart is. He doesn't care about eternity. He doesn't care about his own soul. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about heaven. All he wants is his comfort and ease in the here and now. And Jesus responds that these temporary earthy matters are of no concern to him. He's dealing with that which is of ultimate concern. These things shouldn't be the ultimate concern of disciples, of followers of Jesus. And then Jesus gives this very important principle. Guard yourself against covetousness like that, because one's true life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Your purpose, your value, your meaning in life has nothing to do with what you own while on this earth. Therefore, that ought not to be your major concern. That not ought to be the center of your pursuits. Now, Jesus is not saying that wealth is wrong in and of itself. Jesus is not saying that it is wrong to save up for your life later, you know? He's not saying 401ks or whatever are wrong. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is that your time and efforts and resources ought not to be spent trying to gain more and more and more and more and more earthly possessions. That isn't where your time ought to be spent. Your resources ought to be spent. Your energy ought to be spent. Because that turns into greed. Beware of covetousness, because your life doesn't consist of the abundance of your possessions. You see, greed happens when enough isn't enough. Greed happens when it isn't sufficient to have sufficiency. And your heart will show you. Your heart will show where it truly lies. I mean, we can talk the big spiritual talk. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I love God. I love Jesus. Things like that. And we might even do some good here and there. But when our focus is on, I want more. I want more. I want more. More! Then you're spiritually deficient. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your stuff. And so to make his point, Jesus tells a story. So secondly today, let's consider the parable that Jesus expresses. So to emphasize this principle, Jesus gives a parable. So there was this rich man. He was rich. He had a lot of fields. And these fields, they produced an abundance of crops. I mean, it was just a bumper crop season kind of thing. Now again, there's nothing wrong with that per se. There's nothing wrong when our endeavors succeed, when we're successful, when that which we work at produces very well. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, Jesus wasn't, you know, using this story to try and say, well, you know, it's better if your crops fail. It's better if your crops produce little. That's not at all what he's saying. He wasn't making a comment on when something good happens in whatever our field of life, whatever our field of work happens to be. Jesus is not against success. But the principle that he's pointing out to comes from the man's reaction, his attitude, because of the success. You know, it has to do with his response to the success that his fields had. And so Jesus continues to tell us that what this man's fields produced was even too much for him to handle. I mean, he had too much. So he, you know, he was a rich man. He had fields. He had barns. And he had large barns, but the barns weren't big enough. Yeah, he had all these barns. He could store things, but they weren't big enough to store this overabundance that he enjoyed. Well, what in the world is he going to do with all of it then? The man says to himself, self, what are you going to do with all this stuff? I mean, it's even too much for you. I have all this extra. What should I do? I got an idea. I'm just gonna build bigger barns so I can get more stuff. Therein lies the greed. He was already rich and he already had more than enough to make his life comfortable. And so when he got even more wealth than he could handle, he decided he would do what he needed to do to keep hoarding for himself. He wanted more. He decided that, you know what, this overabundance would be invested in, well, you know what, I'm going to make even more for myself. I want more, and I want more. The man in the parable had the mindset that was completely set on making an earthly empire for himself. I want to make an earthly empire. I want to make a name for myself. I want to be comfortable. We're going to eat, we're going to drink, we're going to relax, we're going to party. I mean, that'd be merry, biblical way of saying it. We're just going to party. Life is going to be a party because I want more. More and more. He wanted the life of ease. He wanted a life of luxury. He would do whatever he needed to do to make that happen because I want more. But then something happened to him. God came to him and said, you're going to die tonight. Now, it's put in a very interesting way. In the ESV, it says, your soul will be required of you. But it's interesting because it literally means your soul is being demanded back. Your soul is being demanded back. What this tells us is that God is the creator and the giver of the soul. God is the giver of life. God gifts us our lives. But there's going to come a time when God's going to bring that life back to him. There's going to be a time when God demands our life back, and we're going to have to give an account with what we did with that life. God gifted us that life. He's going to take it back, and we're going to have to give an account. Are you ready for that? He wasn't. I mean, God already made the judgment on the man. He's going to die. And what's going to happen to all the stuff that he accumulated? I mean, what are you going to do? You got all this stuff, you're going to die. Who's it going to be? Whose is it going to be? You're not going to care. I mean, it is. God is telling him through the parable. I mean, the old cliche that we always say, you can't take it with you. But the funny thing is, that's a biblical principle. You can't take it with you. Psalm 49:17 says, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. I mean, when you die, you can't take your stuff with you. You can't even take your glory with you. Your name, your reputation, you can't take that with you. You can't take none of that stuff with you. So what are you going to do with your time? Why would you invest into something so much that you're not going to be able to keep? Why would your obsession in life be about what you can't keep, what you can't take with you? This then leads to third, the point that Jesus emphasizes. So Jesus has a point. Herein lies the very sobering lesson. What happened to the rich man in the parable is what is going to happen to everybody that takes the same attitude and worldview as he does. If you invest your life, if you invest your time, if you invest your resources into gaining more and more and more for this earth so you can have ease and comfort, eat, drink, be merry, relax, whatever, party, you're going to be considered a fool as well. And you will lose your soul. If you invest only in the temporary, the earthly, the worldly, and you don't invest in the things of God, the things of eternity, you don't invest in the things of heaven, the things of the spiritual life, the things that matter most, you are going to lose everything. That which you do for the earth, you can't take with you. That what you do for the kingdom is going to follow you into heaven. All the earthy stuff, you're going to lose. You're going to lose it all. And if you haven't made an investment into eternity, if you haven't taken care of your soul as much as you've taken care of your portfolio, you're going to really lose out. Jesus says, be rich toward God. Now, he doesn't say that you can't be rich in this world. But he warns about being so concerned with being rich in this world that you miss out on being rich toward God. And when your soul, your life is required of you, when God demands your life back, and you face him, then what? Are you ready to give an account? After I put this sermon together, I'm not sure. How is your spiritual portfolio? How are you invested? Now, of course, then the question is, how can you be rich toward God? So here's some of the quick conclusions that I mentioned before. Here's some quick conclusions that we can make. How can we be rich toward God? First, you invest in your spiritual life. Invest in your spiritual life. First and foremost, make sure that you have taken God's path to heaven, which is found only in Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ for salvation, to save you from the punishment of your sins, because Jesus took that on the cross. He rose again so that you could have life. Invest in Jesus Christ. That's the only stock that will never crash. That's the only stock that will last for eternity. But the investment doesn't stop there. It doesn't just stop at believing in Jesus Christ. Invest your time and life in the spiritual disciplines so that you grow closer to God and you grow more in holiness and piety. The more you're in the Scripture, the more you're in prayer, you find out what living for eternity really means. And you're going to direct your life, you're going to direct the efforts of your life, you know, toward that purpose, what the Bible says. But you know what? It takes time and effort on your part. You have to invest in this. It does take time and effort. I mean, God's not just going to, you know, you're going to lay back in your bed and God's just going to zap you with all this biblical knowledge and the knowledge on how to live for Him, and He's just going to zap on some holiness on you. No. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Being a spectator, being an onlooker, being a bystander at church is not a good enough investment. I mean, we do want to invest here, but you need to be discipling yourself. You need to be being discipled by someone. You need to disciple people so that you can grow, they can grow, we all can grow, so that we're investing in the right things, not investing in the wrong things. But then next, you need to trust God for your provision. You need to trust God for your provision. A lot of the reason that we spend so much time and effort in building our earthly empire is we think we need to provide for ourselves and we need to provide for the future generations because we don't think God will. Or we don't think God can. You know, not that we'd ever say that out loud. Well, I don't trust God to provide for me. I mean, we know the correct Sunday school answer to give. Right? We know all the Sunday school answers. Jesus, church, Bible. Oh, sure, I'll trust God. But then our actions and attitudes say something different. Jesus knows this is a major reason for greed. And so, he continues the lesson after the passage that I read. So look at chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. I mean, this comes right after the parable. So it's connected. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor your body, what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." Now, we recognize this because, you know, it's also found in Matthew 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry about being provided for on this earth. Jesus said, you seek the kingdom. You seek God. You seek me. You seek the spiritual. You seek the eternal, and God is going to take care of all that other stuff. He'll take care of your food. He'll take care of your clothing. He'll take care of your housing. He'll take care of this, that, the other thing. You pursue him and trust he will provide the rest. Have faith. Don't be like one of those where he says, "Oh, you of little faith." Have faith. And there's a third way to consider about being rich toward God. Be a blessing toward others. Be generous, be a blessing toward others. You know, the man in the parable, he had all this overabundance, he didn't even have enough room to store it all. There were so many poor people around, there were so many needs that could have been fulfilled out there in the world, but instead of being generous, he decided to hoard everything for himself. But Jesus tells us to do whatever we need to do to take care of others. Do what you need to do to take care of other people. Listen further in this chapter. Look at verses 32 through 34. Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I don't know about you, I don't personally like those three verses. I'm supposed to sell my what? Jesus, did we hear you right? Jesus is saying, invest in the kingdom. Invest in what is important. Take care of other people. I mean, what are the major, the big commandments? Love God, love other people. When you give generously to other people who are in need, you are investing in spiritual treasures that can't be taken away from you. Moths can't eat it, rust can't destroy it, thieves can't steal it from you. You know, your earthly stuff is temporary. It will easily go away. The vehicle you love will break down and is not really fixable. How many phones have you gone through in your life? Because they come and go. They are temporary. Invest in that which is not temporary. What you do in the name of Christ for the kingdom can't be taken away from you. Paul encourages Timothy to teach the church this in 1 Timothy 6:18. He says, "They," the church, "are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share." That's being the church. Do good, be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share. And so we are a blessing to others. Another way that we can be rich toward God, the fourth way, support the ministry of the church. Because when you invest in the local church, you're investing in the ministry and mission of Christ, the kingdom, as we advance the Great Commission abroad. Now, yes, COVID has put a hiccup in so many different plans. It's hurt churches all around the world financially. But you know what? If we are to move forward, and we need others to join with us so that we can invest in eternity and we can go out there and be the church that we are called to be. Yeah, we'd be smart about it with COVID, but you know what? We're called to be a light. We are called to be salt. We're going to get into the community and the world and do just that. And so support the ministry of the church. And then fifth, finally, find supreme value in Jesus above earthly goods. Find your supreme value in Christ. Because we're going to place our time and our treasure in whatever, and our thinking and our research, we're going to place everything into that which we find to be the most valuable. And so my prayer is that we put our ultimate value in Jesus Christ. Let's take Paul's words seriously that he said in Philippians 3:8. "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." We might not necessarily like those words either. "Well, you know, I kind of like my stuff, though." The question is, do you like your stuff above Jesus? If you like your stuff above Jesus, therein lies the problem. Paul said, "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." There is nothing more valuable than knowing Jesus. There's nothing, not your vehicle, not your phone, not your computer, not any of your gadgets, not your boat, not your plane, nothing. Nothing is of more worth than knowing Christ and pursuing Him and Him alone. I'll conclude with this story. I remember seeing this cartoon, but for the life of me, I can't remember where I saw it. It was a long time ago. And in this cartoon, there was this dog. He was carrying a bone, and he's crossing this bridge, and he kind of looked off to the side of the bridge, and he saw, well, he saw his own reflection, but he thought he was seeing another dog. That other dog also happened to be carrying a bone. Well, he not only wanted the bone that he had, he wanted the other dog's bone. It's not enough for me to have my own bone. I want that other dog's bone. And so he dropped the bone he had, and he started yapping at this other dog that he thought was another dog, but was his own reflection. So, of course, there is no other dog, and there is no other bone. And he dropped the bone that he had into the water. And so he lost everything. And such is the nature of greed. In the effort to get what it is we think we want, we frequently lose what it is that we have. So if you're going to remember anything from this sermon, just remember that. In the effort to get what we want, we frequently lose what we have because of greed. I mean, that might be our eternal soul. It might be our eternal reward. But here's the thing, greed never gains, it only loses. There's another thing, one thing you want to remember from this sermon, greed never gains, it only loses. True life is not found in the amount of toys that you have, or stuff. Now, I mean, I like my stuff. I find my phone to be very convenient. I kind of find my iPad to be convenient. And some of my other stuff. But this stuff isn't the ultimate. These are tools that we can use and felt, but this is not my value. This is not where my meaning comes from. My value, my purpose, my meaning comes from knowing Jesus Christ and His surpassing worth. And so let's seek after that. Christian, maybe during the invitation, and we're singing our last song, maybe you just want to come to the altar and ask the Lord to adjust your attitude a little bit. I know everyone's thinking, there ain't no way I'm going up to the altar because then people are going to think that I'm greedy. Oh, don't let them fool you. Everyone here is greedy. So don't let them make you think that you're the only one. We're all greedy in some way, shape, or form. So seek the Lord. Maybe there's specific areas in your life you want to seek. But maybe there's some here who have not even begun to invest in eternity because you haven't come to Christ. And so I'm going to be up at the front. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you come forward and invest in eternity. You begin by trusting in Christ alone for salvation. There is no greater investment than investing in Christ. I don't care what stockbrokers and all them say. Hey, it's time to invest in Apple. It's time to invest in Walmart, whatever. No, invest in Jesus Christ because you will never lose. You'll never lose with Christ.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at harvest-baptist.org or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can also find info on our children's ministry on Facebook at Harvest Baptist Children's Ministry or on Instagram at KidsQuest_HBC. Our student ministries on Facebook at HBC Vertical Student Ministry and on Instagram at VSM_HBC. We welcome you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We are located at 8999 Waltrana Highway in Harvest, Alabama. Thanks for listening. And God bless.